Views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Boat Talk. I am your host, Captain Trigg. I'm glad to be here with everybody this afternoon. We're here on this, what's turning out to be a fairly decent 16th of the month here. It was great yesterday. I hope everybody was able to get out and enjoy a little bit of that nice weather, even though it was a Friday. But today's turning out to be okay, too. It was great up in Seattle when I left this morning, but then I noticed there was some water on the road by the time I got down here to the Lakewood area. So I don't know how much rain you've had come and go, but today we're going to talk a little bit about maintenance outside. And so I'm hoping you've had a dry day, and I'm hoping that you're listening to me while you're out wrenching on something or working on a boat project. So anyway, for starters, we'll go to the standard announcements that I have at the beginning of the show. And the first one being that I'm easily reachable at my email address, which is trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. Yacht spelled Y-A-C-H-T. I just spoke with somebody the other day who was misplacing the H and the C, which happens regularly. It usually helps to spell the thing out, and it looks weird on paper. So trigg@seattleyachtmanagement is how you can get in touch with me, and seattleyachtmanagement.com, I should say. And I'm always happy to have those emails come in to me and help out wherever I can. I'm here to put the pleasure back into boating, so send me your questions and comments, because chances are pretty good that if you have a question, somebody else has the same question. All it's going to do is help sort that out for them. So be the bigger person and put that question out there. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to make fun of you. I just want information out there for everybody so that they can enjoy equally. Second thing is the boater's education card. Now, I have to apologize a little bit for this, because I was still sending people to the SeattleBoatShow.com website. We're going to discontinue that because the Seattle Boat Show has, since it's ended, they've altered some of their layout on their website, and so that's a little bit, it's a little too confusing to send you there now versus what it was before. Now, your best bet is probably going to be going to boat.wa.gov. So boat.wa.gov. And that will take you, that'll redirect, and it'll send you right over to a whole bunch of boating regulations for the state of Washington. And if you scroll down the page, you'll get to a point where you'll see boater's education card, a link for that, and obviously you just click there and follow along. This is the year for those of us who are 50 years of age and younger to get our boater's education card. So if you're going to be operating a boat in the state of Washington and you're not a resident somewhere else that is just visiting, you need to have your boater's education card. Now, I say that, but most of the other states have also converted to this, so you'll probably, if you boat in another state most of the time, you'll probably need to get a boater's education card for that state as well. So, or instead of. So make sure that you're up to speed on that before it's time to jump in the boat and start running around like it's getting to be, since we're starting to see some of these weekends that are getting a little bit nicer. And I'm all for working on boats, but I'd much rather be on the water. So sometimes I take a little work with me and then I go out for the weekend. So anyways, again, I apologize for the misdirection there. The site I want you to go to is boat.wa.gov, and get that boater's education card taken care of. So anyway, lots of info for boating on that as well. A couple things as far as upcoming events go. I've got some from 3sheetsnw.com and some off of the boatersresourcecenter.com website. For starters, 3 Sheets Northwest has listed, in addition to the things I mentioned last week, for the 15th of February, which is past, so we're not going to talk about that. they had a cruising club meeting, but again, we're not going to talk about it. When I wrote it on my notes, it wasn't the 15th and I didn't do my math right. So anyway, whoops. Then jumping ahead, February 24th, 5 p.m. at Johnny's Dock Restaurant, which is down there along the Theophos Waterway. And this is one I really think you ought to check out. If you're nearby, you're looking for something fun to do. Dave Calhoun is going to be at Johnny's Dock. And Dave Calhoun is a singer, artist that is going to be playing Jimmy Buffett type or Jimmy Buffett style or genre, whatever you want to call it. That style of music, Jimmy Buffett style. And it's always 5 o'clock somewhere, right? So I think you owe it to yourself to get down there on the 24th and spend a little bit of time down at Johnny's Dock Restaurant enjoying and having a good time. So especially on those, if it's a nasty weekend, you really ought to go because what else do you have to do? So anyway, moving on, VotersResourceCenter.com has some items coming up on its events listing. The beginning of April, the 5th, 6th, and 7th of April, we've got the Anacortes Boat Show coming up. April 17th, so jumping a little further ahead in the calendar, the Daffodil Festival, which is Tacoma Yacht Club, hosts the Daffodil Parade for that. You'll wanna check in with Tacoma Yacht Club, and even if you just go to the Daffodil Festival information site, it'll explain kind of all the events that take place. It's a huge thing. The part that concerns me is around boating, and so that has to do with Tacoma Yacht Club there. So anyway, and then May 15th through 19th. The reason I give this one is because it's a long way out, but it's one of those important things that I think boaters really enjoy going to, and that's Trawler Fest up there in Anacortes. So make sure you write that stuff down on your calendars and, you know, keep it in mind for the future. Maybe put a reminder down. You know, Trawler Fest, that's not one you want to miss or schedule over the top of. So highlight it or make it bold, however you need to remind yourself. So if you go to VotersResourceCenter.com, if you go to their website, or if you weren't planning to, I recommend you do, because one of the things that they have posted on their site right now is a video of the largest ever recorded glacial calving, and it is incredible. I mean, I've seen a lot of glacial calving because I go up to Alaska every summer, and that's just one of the benefits, the many benefits of my job. So, you know, I can kind of take that stuff for granted, but I watched this video, and it was unbelievable how much ice we were talking about moving. And it's tough to put it in scale, and so they give some examples of how large the chunk of ice was, but I highly recommend that you get on VotersResourceCenter.com, and across the top, there'll be some scrolling images with stories, and that's one of them. That's a video that you ought to watch because it is just mind-blowing. So check out VotersResourceCenter.com and at least look at that video. There might be something else on there that you're interested in as well. A lot of good information on that site. So anyway, alrighty. We got a little bit of time here, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about GearSmart, which is a product, a locally built product that was at the boat show for the first time this year. I've done several different little speeches here on the radio about it, and I gotta go at least one more time on it because I'm telling you what, I think it's a great product. So. For any of us with outdrives, like myself, and I don't even know how many hundreds or thousands of us are out there, but there are a lot of people with outdrives on their boats or have had them and have had problems and have stories about them, whatever. This is, you got to perk your ears up for this. So if you've got an outdrive, you should be thinking about this product and at least check out their website. I'm going to give the site now, and then I'm going to give it at the end of this, and you can check it out. Write it down. It's going to be at olympicma.com. So Olympic as in the peninsula, M as in mother, A as in alpha. So olympicma.com. And you're looking at their products list and kind of read through what they do. And the product they sell, Olympic MA is the company. Product they sell is GearSmart. And this is an outdrive oil temperature sensor, okay? And it's not just a sensor. They sell a whole kit that runs up to a gauge on the dash from your outdrive, all included in the kit. And right now, I think they're still selling them at boat show prices, but I know they're talking about getting them up. The boat show prices on them were $179, $179.95 or something like this. Anyways, that's too cheap. It's just cheap insurance, because by monitoring your drive oil temp, you're gonna be able to tell if you've got issues going on. And those issues can include the breakdown of your oil. So maybe your oil, you just haven't changed the drive oil in your outdrive in too long. Water intrusion, if you've got some sort of seal that's malfunctioning or something horribly wrong is going on and you've got water intruding into that oil, that's going to change the viscosity of the oil, thereby reducing its ability to be a good lubricant. That's going to heat up. It's going to show up right there on your thermometer, on your temp gauge. If you've got an oil leak, you're going to have less oil. Less oil means less diffusion of the heat, increase in oil temperature. Impeller failure, less cooling water coming in through the exhaust, warmer exhaust going down through the outdrive and into the water, oil temperature is going to go up. Bent prop or shaft, if either of those items is bent, you're going to end up seeing that an increase in drive temp. So check them out. Again, OlympicMA.com. OlympicMA.com. And you're looking at Gear Smarts there. So check them out. See what you think. We'll be back on the other side of a couple minutes of business here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at viaggiocharter.com.
Get the camera and the binoculars. We're going on a cruise. A cruise on the Puget Sound with Destiny Harbor Tours.
That sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours schedules great sightseeing tours for groups of four or more. You'll see wildlife, history, ecology, and experience the Puget Sound up close and personal. They've got two U.S. Coast Guard inspected passenger vessels, each operated by U.S. Coast Guard licensed captains.
I have the camera and binoculars, and I'm ready.
Get more information at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration. And Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResources.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest West Cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. Glad to have everybody back here. Reminder that I can be easily reached via my email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. That's all spelled out, of course. Y-A-C-H-T is how you spell yacht, and management is way too long for me to remember how to spell. So anyways, you'll figure it out. trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. If you've got questions, concerns, comments, anything you want, send it my way. I'm happy to read through the emails and make sure that I get details out there that are needed by you, the boater, as well as questions answered. and hopefully make your lives just a little bit easier. So, well, for no other reason than the fact that I saw this come across my desk the other day, I just happened to fumble across it. I have some information regarding a symposium that's coming up, which I've never heard about, and they've been doing for a little while. I think this might be the first time here in the state of Washington, but it is a working waterfront symposium. So I'm going to read some details off of the press release that I have. Now, this morning I went through and I read through the press release, and I beautifully highlighted it, and then I promptly forgot it on my desk at home. So here we go. I've got the press release here, but it's out of my email and it's not highlighted the way I wanted it. So bear with me a little bit, but I'm going to try and make it quick and painless. So keep your ears open, because I think this is something that everybody really ought to get involved in. Tacoma Waterfront is, of course, important to us all as pleasure boaters. It's important to us as citizens of the state, the county, and the city or cities that we live in, being Seattle and Tacoma and Olympia, where we have working waterfronts all the time. So anyway, waterfronts are getting squeezed. Traditional activities once considered vital to coastal communities, boat building, fishing, recreational boating, and other water-dependent businesses must now compete for limited space on the shoreline. Residential development, zoning changes, shifting population, and energy production are just some of the pressures against a robust working waterfront. There's also a new factor, more frequent massive storm events, that is conflicting with massive change begging the question, how should devastated areas be redeveloped? And if so, what are the best uses for waterfront land? So we all remember the recent storm surge coupled with what they call a king tide in here the other day that put water way up on the beach all through the area, but noticeable down right at the water's edge, where folks that hadn't had water up to their house level are now having it. Same thing goes for the coastline with the tsunami that came over from Japan. So if for anybody who's not aware, there are ports along the Oregon, Washington, California coast that are actually silted in almost completely to the point where they're unusable. And unfortunately, those little townships don't have a ton of money to rebuild. So this whole symposium has to do with, how do we rebuild in a way that it's going to be the most valuable to everybody involved in that situation? You know, the ports, we obviously need a little bit of area for those of us who are pleasure boaters, as well as commercial boaters, to come in and have a place to stay, fishermen, pleasure boaters in transit, etc. But then also, how do we bring income back in based on however it is that we redesign that waterfront? So all those topics and more will be presented at the National Working Waterfronts and Waterways Symposium in Tacoma on March 25th through 28th. So this is another event that you should be putting on your calendar. And I highly recommend that you check out the Boat US website and get more details on this. I don't have a very good, other than the BoatUS.com website, there isn't a great website for me to be able to read off that people will remember. So BoatUS.com, and look into the upcoming events as well as the news around the area. So they're going to have, let me scan down through here, they're going to have some field trips, so to speak, that are going to allow some of the folks that are visiting the area to tour around, both on foot and bus. I'm trying to get them to do some things on the water, because that's the way I think it should be seen personally. But we're going to try and get some visibility out there so that lawmakers and all these government agencies are able to really get a good look at what the working waterfront offers and how we can better revitalize it when and where needed. So anyway, it's coming up. If you're interested in it, I'm sure it's open to public. I'm trying to look at the there was a whole batch of people that are going to be coming to this thing, and I can't remember where it was at in the press release. So anyways, it's going to be people like governors, mayors, and other lawmakers that have to do with the area. Now, it's also being hosted kind of by Washington and Oregon together. So there's going to be a field trip down to Astoria, I know, and there's also one that's scheduled to go down to Portland. And those are overnight trips via bus to take a look at the ports down there. Definitely think it's something worth looking into. Just if you're not aware of the amount of work and the amount of supplies that come in and out of the Columbia River or Puget Sound, either Seattle or Tacoma, you've got to open your eyes to it and see how much comes in and out of here. And obviously there's people that are interested in shutting it down completely for the good of the nature that was originally in the area that maybe isn't anymore, or the good of the nature that is still in the area, but they're concerned about damages. And then there's people looking at it from the aspect of, hey, this is how we move business through. This is commerce. So there's going to be a lot of varying opinions, and I'm a little interested to see kind of how it goes. So in the next couple weeks, I actually am going to have somebody from the NMTA speaking with us about this upcoming event. And so hopefully we'll be shedding a little bit more light. But again, I would definitely take a look at it, boatus.com. There's some links on the press release. The press release is titled How to Keep Working Waterfronts at Work. And so look it up there and then put on your calendar March 25th through 28th. And hopefully you guys will all have a chance to be heard, or at least give your opinions, so that the folks making all the big decisions are able to make them, knowing what it is that we think as recreational boaters, commercial fishermen, whoever you are. So anyway, all right, let's skip along to woodworking here, because I took a look at the morning this morning, and I just shook my head, because I know I should be out varnishing, and I just didn't have time to get it going. I just am not lined up for it. So I thought, you know, I got to talk about woodworking, because people really ought to be out there doing it. And just because I can't doesn't mean that they shouldn't be. So anyways, I hope that you guys are able to capitalize on this good weather we've had. We've had it two weekends in a row now where it's pretty dang decent out there. And now's the time to start working on those projects. And a big one for a lot of us is the woodworking. And I think it's one of the things that really gets the most deferred maintenance, probably, because nobody really likes to do it. And they always think, oh man, it's so much work because we've got to go all the way back to bare wood and start all over. And that's a misconception. And I want to make sure that we're saving time and money where we can, so that we don't have all this money and time being spent that doesn't need to be spent, as well as the deferred maintenance, because that's no good for us either. So anyways, as we have these nice days, we don't have to have hot days in order to varnish or do our woodwork. In fact, a lot of the old school woodworkers, Roy Dunbar being one of those, who's one of our sponsors, of course, he is very happy. In fact, maybe more happy he is happier with the outcome of varnish work that's done in cool weather. And the reason for that is you get a more even drying on it. And we're talking about, you know, being able to notice this more on showboats, but we might as well do it right, or the best way for the boat, even if we don't have a showboat, right? So, and we can utilize the cool weather when, I grew up under the belief that you wanted to wait until it was warm outside to do your woodwork, because that's just what I thought. Now, there's a caveat here. This cool weather we have, even though it's nice and warm, once it cools down, we get a lot of moisture in the air, and that settles down on whatever it is. That's why we've got our, you know, dew. That's why everything's covered in water in the morning. So with this advice, you also need to understand that we don't want water sitting on anything that hasn't set up a little bit yet. So keep that in mind. And so for me, when I look at doing a project like this, I look at starting first thing in the morning when I can wipe down the wood and it's only going to get drier from that point on. So let's say that you have, we're going to talk about a pre-varnished, good condition handrail, let's say, or, you know, could be a toe rail, whatever you've got. You're going to take a light grit sandpaper in the morning, you know, wipe it down, get the moisture off of it. Then in the morning, you're going to sand that real lightly with like a 220 or 240 grit sandpaper and just make it hazy. Just take the shine off of your varnish. You're not going to go hard on it or anything like that. Just get that shine off of it, okay? And then wipe it back down. Wipe it down. You can wipe it down if you're curious what it's going to look like after you varnish it. You wipe it down with a wet rag. Water on your rail is what it's going to look like when you've got a coat of varnish on it. If you're just wiping it down to get the dust off of it, use a tack cloth. You can use a damp or dry cloth. I highly recommend the tack cloth because it actually makes the dust stick to the cloth as opposed to just knock it up into the air and then it settles back down. Do not, please, I repeat, do not use any kind of chemicals on a rag in order to get that dust off of there. We've talked about this in the past. Remember, it's going to leave that chemical residue in there, and then we're going to be varnishing back over that, and that doesn't make for a very good bond between the two layers. So anyways, all right, so we're all wiped down. Now we're going to take a coffee break, just like we're about to take a quick break here on the radio station. We'll be right back after a couple minutes of business here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Marine related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow. Honey, get the camera and the binoculars. We're going on a cruise. A cruise on the Puget Sound with Destiny Harbor Tours.
That sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours schedules great sightseeing tours for groups of four or more. You'll see wildlife, history, ecology, and experience the Puget Sound up close and personal. They've got two U.S. Coast Guard inspected passenger vessels, each operated by U.S. Coast Guard licensed captains.
I have the camera and binoculars, and I'm ready.
Get more information at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration, and Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. Glad to have us all back on the same page here after we've had our quick coffee break and are ready to get back to our varnish project this morning, right? So send me questions and comments via my email, trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com, trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. If you need a little bit more advice as far as the varnish work goes, send me an email, give me a chance to help you out a little bit, and hopefully that'll make a better project for you that you're less frustrated or confused about. So anyways, all right, we're going to jump back into our project here. After we've wiped it down with the tack cloth, and remember, not used any chemicals to wipe it down. We're going to stand back and kind of look at our work, and it's going to look terrible because we've just taken the shine off of it. And then we're going to grab our varnish, and we're going to start with our first coat of varnish on it. And it's a real easy, simple one-layer deal on this go-around. The one thing that you need to make sure with this is that, remember, we're fighting the time in the day, because as the air starts cooling down, the moisture is going to start setting down. And, you know, I usually try, as a general rule of thumb, to be done with the varnish work by one. There's a couple ways you can do that. One is only open up part of a project that you can finish by that time in the day. And number two, you may have to work through lunch, right? So, you know, make sure that you plan ahead for being done by one. It's also going to depend on where your boat is in relation to the sun. If you're in a slip where the sun is going to set, and it's going to set down beyond a boathouse or maybe a larger boat to the west of you, then your boat's probably going to cool down faster, aka get moist more quickly. So anyways, just take that stuff into account as you're varnishing along. Now, also I want to point out that as you're doing this coat of varnish, because you've already got good layers underneath, you need to make sure that you're brushing out your varnish the same direction every time that you finish out. You can go back and forth, but you always want to do your final pull the same direction all the way down your rail. And that's gonna allow you to keep from having a thick and thin or a missed location along your handrail or your rail, whatever it is, okay? So just make sure that you kind of work from one end down the other direction, and you always do that last pull the same direction, and just real light on that last one, just to kind of drag it out, make it all flat. And, you know, it's going to look like it's got brush marks in it, but when it lays down, it'll just be smooth as a baby's bottom. So anyways, make sure you do that. Now, we're going to repeat this without the sanding 3 times in a row. So if you can get 3 days in a row, that's your best bet, right? Because you're not going to have to worry about how much dirt's settling down. You just go through, wipe it off the next morning with a rag, make sure it's tacked up and it's got a hard coating to it, which it should after it sits overnight. And then you can start maybe a little bit later in the morning that next day, because you're just going to put a layer of varnish, a coat of varnish on it. So anyways, but again, make sure that you're done by one, so that has enough time to set up before the moisture starts sitting down on those rails or any of that woodwork. So after that, you store your brush and leave it for the rest of the day. Maybe take the day off, go out and have a nice dinner with your wife, or go hang out with the kids, or maybe even work on another project. Have fun working on another project on the boat, as long as it doesn't mess with the rails at all. So anyway, just a couple little tips on the varnish work, follow-up tips. Make sure that when you sand and re-varnish, you're doing that in 3-coat increments, okay? You don't want to sand any less than 3 coats, because the varnish isn't going to be thick enough to support that. You're going to sand through that, okay? You want to actually be having a net gain, an increase in layers of varnish that you're leaving every time, and that way you're building it up harder and harder and thicker and thicker, so that there's that big protective coat between the wood and the sun, the wood and anything that gets dropped on it, anything like that. So anyway, make sure you're doing that. If you want to add more than 3 coats, if you see a good weather window coming up, then after your 3 coats, make sure it sets up nice and hard, and then go back, do that light sand, and add your next 3 coats. So hopefully that'll get you better and better every year. You don't want to wait too long on your handrails before you do that. Otherwise, you're going to end up having to take them back down to bare wood. And believe me, if you haven't done it, it is not nearly as much fun or as convenient as going out there and just lightly scuffing up the handrails and throwing 3 more coats on. So you've been warned. Make life easy on yourself. So, I just came across this. My wife actually found this in the news this morning and said, hey, you know, I don't know if you know about this, but here's what's going on. We got some, we got ferries and they're leaning. So they've recently come up with three ferries, and I think these are all the same size. They're a quite a bit smaller ferry. I believe that they have, they're a 64, 65 car capacity on them. There's the Chesimoca, Salish, and Kennewick. Those three have a list to them when they're running empty without cars. If they've got passengers on them, it's noticeable that they're listing. So I pulled this. Boy, I can't even remember where I got this from. But at any rate, the Assistant Secretary of Transportation, David Mosley, said that they're not going to allow them to list anymore. The work involves adding tons of ballast on each vessel, but it's a simple fix, he says. Customers, crew members, and lawmakers have complained about the list on the 64-car vessel since the first of the boats went into service in 2010. They don't like looking at it and worry it will be a cause of future maintenance problems. Now, it goes on to say that they don't think, it's been a topic of discussion, but they don't think it's going to create long-term maintenance issues or any kind of safety issue. But now it's becoming an issue because people don't like to look at it. It also, the article also goes on to state that it's kind of by design that they do that. They run all of, I believe, the exhaust, the stairways, and the elevator down one side. And then when they load cars, it balances it out. It adds enough ballast to the other side that, voila, it goes. Now, it does not mention in the article what kind of issues it's going to have when they add 180,000 pounds of steel shot to the other side to ballast the boat. Now what's going to happen when they load the vessel up? Is it going to list the other way because it's got a full load of cars on it? Or what's the situation there? So, which I think tends to make it a less safe situation. I don't even have to think. I pretty much know it does. When you add extra weight, it changes all of the center of gravity and the physical dynamics of the boat. So when you add extra weight, it makes it a lot harder to right. And if the boat already has a list with all that additional weight on it, it makes it easier to roll. And I don't know. I listen to this kind of thing and I go, yeah, I'm glad we're paying for that. Now they're estimating the fix at $300,000. It does not say whether that's per vessel or if that's for the all three of them, getting all three of them fixed up. I tend to think that they mean that it's a $300,000 fix for all three of them. I am sincerely dismayed that we're choosing to spend $300,000 of the transportation budget to go to right these vessels a little bit more when they're empty, which I tend to think is not really the point of them. They're intended to be full. So generally speaking, most of the time they're just fine and dandy. But anyway, they don't like looking at it, so that's what we're going to be spending money on. I'm pretty excited about that. So I thought I had to bring that up. That's a government deal there, and I wish it wasn't the way that it was, but it is. So anyway, if you didn't hear about it until now, surprise. If not, if you've heard about it and kind of roll your eyes, I'm sure I'll be getting some emails saying, yeah, you know, that's exactly right. And there were some comments online about it, and frankly, I 100% agree. It's a goofy situation to bother doing it. I hope that it doesn't end up costing us more in the future. So, all right, we'll dust our hands off from that and just call it what it is. So, moving on here, another piece of news that I came across is regarding a U.S. Coast Guard accident that happened in 2009. It was U.S. Coast Guard versus a 24-foot Sea Ray. Here's just a brief rundown of the situation. 33-foot special purpose craft was headed to a grounded vessel call when it collided with a 24-foot Sea Ray, killing one boy aboard the Sea Ray. The Sea Ray had 13 people aboard, I believe, And to me, that seems like it was probably overloaded a little bit. But we're not, I'm not really interested in pointing fingers here. I'll tell you, the outcome of it was that three of the U.S. Coast Guardsmen aboard, not sure how many total were aboard, if it was just the three, were found guilty, and they were punished at various levels based on rank, whether they were trying to jump to the next higher rank, etc. Here's why we're discussing this today, is because I feel like it's too often that we take away our attention from what we're doing and miss out on what's happening around us. And the reason that I even brought up the 13 people on board a 24-foot Sea Ray is because I feel like that's an awful lot of people to have in what amounts to be a small area, especially if they all want to be outside on that boat. And it's hard to focus when you've got a lot of noise, when you've got people in front of you, behind you, next to you. It's hard to see all the things around you. Now, another thing I want to point out is that we seem to kind of throw caution to the wind when it comes to, you know, flashing lights and everything. We take it for granted that the officers that are driving, they're seeing everything. Maybe, you know, maybe they get distracted. Maybe they get a radio call. Maybe the microphone, you know, hops off the mic stand and swings over and whacks the guy in the head. You don't know what's happening in there, but we take it for granted that because they're law enforcement, they can do no wrong. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back and try to learn from this tragedy instead of just kind of allow it to go on and wait until the next one happens. So anyway, come back in another couple minutes and we'll finish up the show for today here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResources.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Your boat will always be ready to hit the water when you visit Dunbar Marine, where Roy Dunbar has specialized in classic wood boat repair and restoration for 52 years. Dunbar Marine does it all, from minor maintenance to complete restoration, and Roy encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs. Get to know Roy, and you'll get to know your boat up close. Find out more at DunbarMarine.com. You can even see some of Dunbar Marine's restoration work at DunbarMarine.com.
Honey, get the camera and the binoculars. We're going on a cruise. A cruise on the Puget Sound with Destiny Harbor Tours.
That sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours schedules great sightseeing tours for groups of four or more. You'll see wildlife, history, ecology, and experience the Puget Sound up close and personal. They've got two U.S. Coast Guard inspected passenger vessels, each operated by U.S. Coast Guard licensed captains.
I have the camera and binoculars, and I'm ready.
Get more information at DestinyHarborTours.com.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg, back here for the last segment of the show, and want to remind everybody that they can send their comments, questions, concerns, whatever you got, send them to me, Trigg@SeattleYachtManagement.com, Trigg@SeattleYachtManagement.com. Always happy to have them. All right, before we headed to break, we were talking about Coast Guard incident back in 2009, San Diego Harbor, where the Coast Guard actually ended up colliding with a 24-foot Sea Ray with folks aboard, ends up killing one boy And the Coast Guard at least held its three Coast Guardsmen partially, if not fully, responsible. And all three of them, or three of them on board, were reprimanded at varying levels, kind of depending on, I suppose, their involvement as far as the operation of the vessel. So that's speculation more than anything there. But I want to go back again to why we're having this conversation. It isn't to say, oh, hey, this guy did something wrong, or that guy did something wrong, or the boat was overloaded, or it wasn't overloaded. What I'm saying is that we need to make sure that even though we think the other person, and I don't care whether it is a Coast Guard boat or a police boat or another pleasure boat, you never know what the other person is thinking until you've had some sort of interaction, whether that is via a sound signal or via a radio conversation. And I think a lot of us just kind of assume. I know that I've run larger boats, and it would seem that the bulk of boaters out there just assume that the larger vessel knows what they're doing, so they'll get around. Well, that's not even close to how the laws read. The less maneuverable vessel has the right of way, regardless of what that is. Now, I'm of course going to take and follow the other regulations that I've been trained to follow as far as passing goes and making passing arrangements, but to allow me to kind of nonchalantly throw it out there as, they're bigger, they've got professionals on board, they'll figure it out. To throw that out there, that just puts everybody on board at risk, as well as the boat. And, our crew comes first, but we also are concerned about the thing that's keeping our little crew up out of the water too. So, just make sure that you're not being too sloppy with decisions that are being made as far as whether you need to pay attention to the situation at hand. Even if it looks like somebody's going to pass you port to port like they should, and that's exactly, maybe you're right on track to do port to port, they're right on track for port to port passing, and the last minute they make a hard port turn and cut right across to your bow. If you've stopped paying attention because you assumed things were already taken care of, and it's an easy thing to do, don't even get me wrong on that. We all let our guard down, and sometimes it's too much. But if they make that bat wing turn on you last second, then what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to T-bone them if you're not paying attention. Hopefully, you can alter course. You never know what can happen. That guy might spot a log last second and make a hard turn to avoid the log, not even thinking about what it's going to do as far as putting him in your path or vice versa. You just don't know what's going to happen last second, so you've always got to be on guard and paying attention. And I bring this up because the Coast Guard was held responsible for it. But at the same time, I feel like it's my responsibility as a boater. If I see a Coast Guard boat headed right for me, to honk, maybe get on the gas and get the heck out of the way. Who knows? I mean, I could do any number of things. And I'll tell you, if I notice that there's a boat headed right for me, I don't care what it is, I'm going to make some noise about it and make a change so that nothing bad does happen. And I also will say that if I see two boats headed for me, or if I'm in the same situation and I see a police boat headed for me, or a Coast Guard vessel headed straight for me versus just a regular recreational boat, I'm going to be guilty of the same thing and go, oh, they must be headed over to talk to us, or they must know what's going on because, they're the police. That's just the way I think we've been trained to respond, is that, well, they know what they're doing, but they're humans too, so they can make the same mistakes we as just regular old pleasure boaters or even commercially licensed captains can make. And we don't want to wait for that to become the case. We want to jump out ahead. So anyway, just keep an eye out, be vigilant. Let's make sure that gets taken care of. So anyway, all right, on to the next matter at hand. And I'm sure everybody's probably thinking, man, he made it all the way through without talking about these cruise ship incidents we've been having. Well, wrong, 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 wrong. I have to talk about them. And, I don't know. I don't even have great details because the news has been doing whatever it is that they do by talking to whoever the spokesperson is at the cruise lines and every place. You know, that's their job. Here's my job. My job is to kind of ask the question, why? Why are we having these situations? Why is it continuing to be allowed? Why am I paying as a taxpayer to have the boat towed from point A to point B? Is that even the case? I'm frustrated, and I'm frustrated for multiple reasons. One, as many of you know, I really don't compete with the cruise ships, but I do work in a similar industry as a yacht charter captain, and we have a charter boat. And I will tell you, I feel like I'm held to a standard that does not allow me to end up in situations like this. And it makes me very happy that I'm held to that standard. My question is, why are we allowing huge numbers of people to be treated as if they were no better than cattle, having to live in their own waste and filth aboard a vessel that's owned by a company that ought to have enough money to fly an individual helicopter out to pick everybody up if that's what it came to? Why are we letting this continue to go on? And, you know, the simple point of the matter or fact of the matter is that we continue to support it. You know, I hope that this will bring about maybe some eye opening for lawmakers or whoever it takes in order to get some different regulations on the cruise ships. And I also hope it brings upon some of the cruisers an eye opening situation so that they can take a step back and go, wait a second, why are we paying this? And how much more do we have to pay in order not to be in that situation? I mean, frankly, you know, once the restrooms stop working, I'm done having a good time, guaranteed. I need restrooms, I need food, I need water. Those are things I have to have. And if I'm not getting that, I'm unhappy, okay? So, you know, take a step back and ask yourself. Now, I know that what I do is more expensive. You know, what I offer is usually more expensive from a per-person standpoint. But I can almost guarantee you some of those people would have gladly paid it in order to get on the boat. And I just want to make people aware that, you know, we have some more rigorous standards than it seems that the cruise companies seem to have. And that's kind of all I can say about it. I'd love to see people revert from cruising to doing private yacht charter for not that much more money and get themselves a better time. So I highly recommend now, especially after the events that have transpired in the last couple years anyways, there's been too much cruise ship activity in the media and not in a good way, like, oh, look, these guys saved somebody or anything. No, it's this boat ran aground and killed people. Why? Because the captain figured out that it was going to be a problem and he took off a long time ago. You know, it's a lot of negative press towards the cruise lines. I hope that creates enough of a problem that some regulations change, but instead I also hope that it brings some people over to the yacht charter world, because we have a lot more to offer as far as privacy and luxury versus a cruise liner that is just made to transport people. It's the reason they're big and square and ugly is because they need to maximize the amount of space they've got on the thing. And you do that just like building a square house, straight up the sides and straight up the front and back. So anyway, make sure that if you're a cruise ship passenger, you really read the fine print, because I'm sure a lot of these people are kind of going, you know, what are we owed? What's going on here? And, you know, I don't know. For last thing I heard was $500 and a free cruise on a cruise ship or from a cruise line that treated them the way that they just treated them. So, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there. I feel very bad for the people that were there, and I hope that all of them are okay and you know, can recover. Because the worst thing for me isn't that they took a cruise ship. It's that they won't go back to any kind of water travel. And frankly, that's probably, to me, the most detrimental thing to the whole production, is that I think it really will scare some people out of going cruising, regardless of whether it's on board a ship or on board a private yacht. So hopefully, hopefully they get taken care of and things kind of all wash out on that front. So, and I'd really like to not have to talk about them ever again too. So hopefully they'll figure that out too. So, anyways, all right, we're boiling down to the last couple minutes here. And, I did this fun fact before, but I ran across it, today when I was horsing around and figured I'll mention it again. So, you know, we have our own names for things on board boats. We've got our port and our, which is left, and starboard, which is right. And, you know, that people can usually get along with that, but they really want to know why their restroom is called a head. And this is something that stems from way back early times when we didn't have indoor plumbing. And so if you had to use the restroom, you headed up to the head of the ship, the front of the ship, where it was going to be washed off deck rather quickly, just because of the ocean swells, rainwater, etc. So when you were going to use the restroom, you said, "I'm going to the head," meaning the head of the ship. That was always where the restroom was. So that's how it got its name, and it just continued on. So take that little tidbit with you and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I hope everybody's enjoyed this this latest episode of Boat Talk with me, and hope you'll join me again next Saturday. Thanks to all our sponsors and all the listeners out there. Have a great boating weekend.